Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hello there, everybody. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to you here on Sports Daily. Glad to be with you. It's Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester, Max Power back producing things for you. He's taking your calls at 869-1240. We're taking your video comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Thanks also for watching us on 12 News Connected. And you can leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app. We're with you as well on the iHeartRadio app. It is getting hot out there. Perfect day to rock the Hawaiian shirt at very early in the morning hours. We're glad to be with you. You know what, Tommy? Let's get things started. This morning, feeling so festive, feeling so good. Let's get things started with a giveaway. Right out of the gates. How about some Swing 365 Golf? How does that sound?
Yeah, we love our partnership with the folks over at Swing 365 Golf. They're on the east side of town at Central and 127th. We've got an opportunity for you to win a free week membership. It's a private golf simulator. You can go and practice. You can play. You can hang out in the privacy of this entire area. So we've got a chance for you to win a free week-long membership. All you have to do is text the keyword swing, that's S-W-I-N-G, to 20357, and we'll draw one winner per week.
Good luck, everybody. Message and data rates apply. You can enter once a day. You know what it's not at 365, Swing 365?
What's that?
95 degrees and humid.
You're right.
So
climate controlled, air conditioned.
That's right. That's right. So good luck, everybody, on that. We'll have another giveaway. We'll give away some HTO later in the show as well. Get all kinds of fun stuff for you. Shreyas Lada is going to join us today, our KU insider. We will check in from KU camp, and you know, it's all the attention's on football, rightfully so, but they are getting basketball work in, and I wonder how that's going. And you know, Bill Self's back, I assume, back at it now after a brief little scare there with his heart again. So we'll get to the latest on all of that with Shreyas Lada. We'll also, of course, talk Kansas City Royals as they fall again to one of baseball's best. Speaking of one of baseball's best, I wonder how this Cy Young race is shaking out, because what's appeared to be a one-horse race may actually be a three-horse race based on two performances in the American League that we saw. We'll get into that later. Just curious to see what Tommy thinks about it. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring free mini homemade root beer floats with any kid's meal purchase. This will run through the 4th, so you can get this deal. Through the 8th. This deal will run through Friday. It's a limited supply of WBC keepsake mini mugs that'll be given out. Hurry in. Get in there today. Go have lunch. WBC, it's pizza and root beer made here. Tommy, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Today is my wedding anniversary. And so I think my wife and I are going to go to dinner tonight, a little kid-free dinner, which will be nice. It's kind of rare. You know, we don't get a chance to do that very often, but looking forward to that. So that'll be fun.
How many dinners do you miss poker because of dinner? How many dinners do you guys do?
It happens every once in a while. This will be like two in a week, which is extremely rare. But yeah, we'll be doing that tonight. So looking forward to that.
Good luck. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You ever forget your anniversary? You reached that point yet?
No, I think my wife would ensure that I never do. There are little reminders that are all over the place.
Yeah, my wife and I have both forgotten it. I think collectively, at least a couple of times. We have kind of a weird one. December 5th. It's right after our oldest daughter's birthday, and the times we've forgotten, I feel like have been. Base is something to do with, I think we may have opened the East HTO on our anniversary or something like that, where we've like been like, I don't know. We've forgotten it a couple times. Like we've hit that point for sure. We went to Hawaii for our 10th. Other than that, we just kind of lay low. Our anniversary has never jumped out to the forefront of not like my wife's birthday. We'll put it that way.
We used to do tropical vacations every year our anniversary. We would go to Cancun and, you know, do all this. And then we had kids. And
thanks a lot, kids.
Yeah, we have not done anything like that recently. In fact, up until I think it was yesterday, we were thinking we would probably have to take the kids to dinner with us tonight. So we're like, you want to do like Red Robin to celebrate our anniversary? Because the kids like it, free French fries, and they get a balloon on the way out. You know, like we could go and do that. But our 10th anniversary is next year. So this is number 9. So we may try to go back, like try to do a tropical vacation of some sort this time next year.
Yeah, we did a big tent. That was our big one. It was great. Have you been to Hawaii? You guys
been to Hawaii? I've been to Hawaii. Yeah.
It's a good spot. It's a good option for a 10th anniversary. We will have these things to talk about. NFL wise, I feel like we're kind of in a holding pattern. This, I'm telling you, we have the Micah Parsons discussion yesterday. I don't remember one more polarizing than Micah Parsons as far as these contracts go. Because it feels like there's two camps, either don't do it or you're insane if you don't do it with this particular contract situation. Most of the time, it's more complicated than that, right? Like Terry McLaurin, I think we all feel like they got to do Terry McLaurin. Hendrickson, we kind of feel like everybody's like, they got to get Hendrickson done. This one's different. And I think it's dominated the headlines because we're still waiting on games. I get it. But I feel like this one's got people a little more divided. So we can get back into that. The NFL bans smelling salts, if you're into that. But the big NFL storyline that will follow today, and we can get into this in the next segment. Jordan Addison was suspended yesterday. The Vikings wide receiver, 3-game suspension. They're calling it substance abuse policy. It was driving under the influence of alcohol. So that's why is that significant to us? Not that big a deal, because we're waiting on Rashee Rice. And I believe their sentences were handed down like the same day.
It was the same day. So, they were both the judges in their cases finalized everything for both on the same day.
And there's been less time to process the Addison information. Granted, it's a little more cut and dry than the Rashee Rice. It's a little, I don't know if less serious is the right word, but in the legal system, less serious, less penalty from the actual law. So we'll watch that. I mean, that's what we're watching now. What does that mean for Rashee Rice? How does that bleed into the Chiefs? What are they thinking? Matt Nagy talked from camp yesterday. Not a lot of fascinating stuff coming from the availability of the Chiefs, but that story in particular has all of our ears perked up as it pertains to Rashee Rice, 3 games there. Is that equitable? Does it mean more for Rice? Spoiler alert, I kind of think it does. But we'll get into that on the other side. We'll talk a little NFL. We've got Royals talk coming this hour. So stick around. You can leave us your thoughts and comments on the video streams. You can give us a call. Lots of different ways to get in touch with the program. We want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for getting us motivated this morning a little bit extra all around the Odyssey stations.
Hey, did you get a good night of sleep last night? I know you were up late the other night. So
yeah, I was out by about 10:45, which is pretty good for me.
Good.
That's pretty good for me. I was watching, to be perfectly honest, I was watching Padres Diamondbacks baseball for a little too long because it finished off a 4-leg parlay that I hit back-to-back nights here. A 3-legger on Monday night and a 4-legger on Tuesday night. We're heating back up just in time for football season. We got to keep that train rolling. Maybe I'll go the Royals today. I did not go the Royals yesterday. Usually I do throw the Royals in. I did not throw them in yesterday with that pitching matchup, which we can talk about. But when we come back, let's talk about some football. Some NFL football. We'll bounce around the storylines, including Kansas City Chiefs. That's next on Sports Day.
to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. It's Jake Albrecht, Tommy Caster, who's not participating again this week, just for those not watching on video stream.
It's a fun polo. It might not be Hawaiian in nature, but it's fun.
I don't know that you're rolling out in that and everyone's saying, this guy's ready to party.
Usually is not the first thing people think of when they look at me. Let's be real honest about that.
Well, listen, we're getting closer. I'll give you that. We're getting closer. Max is, I'm sure, rocking his version of a Hawaiian, which is a tie-dye shirt.
He is.
Which I can appreciate. It's kind of a whole different vibe, but we're in the same galaxy with that. 869-1240 is the number to call. If you want to give us a call, we're happy to take them. If you want to win a trip to see the Zac Brown Band, Love and Fear, live at the Sphere in Las Vegas this December, including a two-night stay in a suite at the Venetian Resort Las Vegas, the only hotel directly connected to the Sphere, you can enter the national contest right now. Just download the Odyssey app, listen to KFH for at least an hour. You can learn more about the contest, odyssey.com/Zach. Thanks to the Messina Touring Group for giving that one to us there. So good luck on that one as well, everybody. If you have the Odyssey app, you've probably seen the push alert on that one. It pays to listen to Sports Daily and KFH. All right, let's start, Tommy, in our NFL conversations today with the Jordan Addison story yesterday. So Addison was popped for 3 games, DUI. The suspension, a result of his arrest in July of 2024. He was given 2 misdemeanors. This is also important. A year earlier than that, he was cited for speed and reckless driving. He was going 140 miles per hour in a 55 at 3 a.m. He pled guilty there to a misdemeanor. I don't believe he was suspended for that. Now, I don't know either if the NFL kind of combined these together. But what's interesting is that one is closer to the Rashee Rice situation, the reckless driving. 3 games. So there are a lot of Chiefs fans. The interesting thing is there was a legal decision made in this case on the same day, right, as Rashee Rice. Rice's incident happened a little earlier than the DUI, but in between the reckless driving and the DUI. I'll be perfectly honest. I thought Addison was going to get a bigger suspension. Not because, you know, the DUI, I think, is pretty par of the course, but we're kind of dealing multiple offenses here. So we'll see what happens with Rashee Rice. Now, Addison didn't cause a wreck, and he didn't flee the scene. Both of those things Rashee Rice did.
He also didn't injure anybody, and there were injuries in the Rashee Rice situation.
Now, so what's interesting, I don't know that is a fact, you know, like the bad decision was the same in a way, but yes, there were injuries. And again, Rice ran away from the scene, which is never a good deal. Rice's penalties in the actual legal system are far more severe than Addison's are. So I would suspect that his suspension from the NFL will, in relative terms, also be harsher. You know, he's got to serve 30 days in jail. He's on 5 years probation. Some pretty serious stuff. Addison's got a couple misdemeanors. Not that what he did isn't serious. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to find, as we don't know anything yet from the league, like, where can we sort of try to guess at what sort of suspension Rice is going to serve? I still think somewhere between 4 and 6 games. But maybe some people think this is the path to 3 games, which is falls in the middle of some of the initial reporting there. Either way, don't you think this comes soon now? Like, I thought for sure we'd have this already. I thought for sure we'd have it before the start of the season. Now, we still have 3 weeks for that, but feels like this should already be down from the NFL.
I think we will see it relatively soon. I mean, knowing that the NFL was able to put the penalties in place for Jordan Addison, and again, the decisions from the judges came on basically the same day for Addison and Rice, I would imagine that we'll get some kind of clarity relatively soon. I would caution anybody on drawing parallels between the two cases, because even though the cases, there are some similarities in them, one thing we've learned about the NFL and their disciplinary process is that everything is kind of arbitrary. Like, it's kind of just up to them on what they decide. It really, I know they take the legal proceedings into consideration. I know they take the penalties and the different circumstances of each individual situation, and they use that to base their penalty off of their policies, personal conduct, and substance abuse, and all these different things come into play for that. But I think it's really difficult and probably a waste of time, to be frank, to try to go through the different circumstances of each case and then try to draw parallels to determine what this suspension will be for Rashee Rice. And simply because you're dealing with individuals in the NFL that we don't fully know what their process is.
We also don't know what they know.
We don't know what they know, and we don't know what their process is and what they're taking into consideration to make these decisions and to show what kind of penalty that will be.
Yeah, I think the NFL could have other information, right, that they can use. They can do whatever they want, right?
They're operating independently from the legal system. The law can't just do whatever it wants.
It kind of has to prove things. The NFL doesn't really have to do that. I think more than anything, it gives us a baseline. We know it'll be at least three. And probably a little more, but at least three.
I mean, we don't know that. We can assume that, but we don't. We don't know that for sure.
There's no chance it's less than three. But we don't know that.
We don't know.
I mean, I guess it's not written down, but we can use our eyes and our ears and know that it's at least three. The part that we are really guessing at is the timing. Okay, well, if this happened and there was a legal decision around the same time, because the reality is they had 4 more months of information gathering time with Rice than they did with Addison when these things happened. And it wasn't like Rice was resistant or fighting. I mean, he did run from the scene, but once things calmed, it was pretty clear, like everything went, you know, I did it. I'm very sorry. I'm going to take care of these victims, you know, all those things. So it's not like there was a lot to sort out, right? There was video of it. He admitted to it.
He pled guilty right away. So, I mean, that was in place.
So I think we'll get it pretty soon. And I think it'll be more than three, but at least three. So we can start there with the Chiefs as we transition now to the football. So you go into the season now. You can assume it's going to be at least the first three games, probably going to be more like the first month at minimum that Rice will be out. We know Hollywood Brown has been hurt in camp. We know Xavier Worthy's had a concussion in camp. This is where things get a little interesting. The Chiefs, you know, if that is the case, we know the Chiefs' schedule is another monster this year. So if it was going to be, let's just call it the first four games, right? You're looking at Chargers, Eagles, Giants, Ravens. That Ravens game is the fourth game, which is pretty important, whether it's three or four more. But that's, you know, those are some big games without what we all assume is going to be your top wide receiver this year. So if it's Addison's still allowed to practice and do all that stuff, I assume Rice would be able to do the same thing. So once he's back, he can hit the ground running. But if you're the Chiefs too, Tommy, don't you kind of have to start, like, what's the backup plan here? Like, Jalen Royals is going to need some reps with the ones. Rice, you're going to have to sit a few out. Like, we've got to get ready to roll here. The schedule is tough out of the gates.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be much of an issue in, you know, having other wide receivers step up and be able to at least run with the ones, because they're going to have to. They, out of necessity, I mean, as you mentioned, Hollywood Brown is injured and Xavier Worthy has a concussion and all of that. I don't want to see any of these top wide receivers throughout the preseason at all. There's really no need for it. I mean, I know
Except Royals.
I know. Well, yeah, I mean, outside of Royals, but I don't want to see Worthy. I don't want to see Brown. I don't want to see Rice even, because you need to protect him and make sure that when he's available to come back, he's healthy to come back. You know, so at that point, like, I think that you're going to be able to see what Royals can give you at game speed, even though it's the preseason. So I think that that's an important piece of it. We know that they've got Juju, and he's kind of been a reliable, you know, just kind of safety net, you know, for them, a little bit of a parachute, because he's just consistent in there. So you've got him, and then the guys lower down the depth chart as well. But yeah, I mean, I would imagine that they're already figuring out what that game plan is going to be. And it could very well be a situation where they're without Rice because he's suspended. And who knows the severity of Hollywood Brown's ankle injury and if he'll be ready to go for the start of the season. But regardless of that, I mean, I think you keep those guys on ice during the preseason.
I think so, too. There's multiple benefits of it, too. You need to acclimate Royals as fast as humanly possible. Probably a little faster than the rookies normally come along. And I will say, you know, the reports on him in camp have been very strong. And it's not like his physical things. It's his, you know, acclimation mentally and how quickly he's picking things up. That we're hearing a little more chatter about that kind of stuff than we normally do about these receivers. Tyquan Thornton has sort of been the darling of camp right now. I'm going to suspect there's a little Justin Ross at play there. Like, we all want to find these. Oh my goodness, I can't believe Thornton's been okay in his NFL career. He's got some upside. So I'm glad he's there for right now. But I think it amplifies Travis Kelce. I think it amplifies the run game early in the season, probably a little bit more than, you know, than it will when they're at full strength. And, you know, can the offensive line dominate a little bit and help these wide receivers have time to get open and help Patrick Mahomes have time to, you know, to give maybe an extra second or two to get things opened up? Tommy, yesterday, Nagy was asked and the question, and there was no, like, from what I didn't listen to it, I only read the press conference, but Jalen Moore and Juwan Taylor, the competition at right tackle, like, they're not even pretending anymore, right? At how this is going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, Simmons is going to be the left tackle.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
They won't say it. They haven't said it. Like, they're not, but these other guys are working over at the right side. They're talking about them working over at the right side. I think that is an absolute best case scenario for this Chiefs offseason. And we talked about it when he was drafted. Like, what is the best case scenario? That Simmons starts week one and never looks back, right? Regardless, no matter what else happens, that is the best case scenario. And it appears to be what's happening, not out of necessity, but out of he looks good there. He's ready to roll. He's physically capable. And we can all move on, hopefully, for the love of God, from the left tackle conversation that we've been having for 3 years.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time since there's been long-term stability at that position. And that's the biggest thing that I know the Chiefs are looking for. I mean, they want to see Josh Simmons be a freak athlete. They want to see him be the best left tackle in the league. But before they get to that, you have to walk before you run. Before they get to that, they just need stability. They just need somebody to be out there that they can count on and rely on. And it looks like Simmons is that guy. And we'll see. Once we get to game speed and everything, we'll see how that pans out. But it is interesting that really it's become a foregone conclusion that he will be the left tackle and they're going to work Moore and Taylor on the right side. Going back to the wide receiver conversation briefly, I've said all offseason long that really what I wanted to see from Patrick Mahomes and the offense was more of a schematic change. Like, I wanted to see more of a philosophy change. Like, and that's been talked about at length during the offseason and training camp about how with the personnel at the wide receiver position now and the fact that, you know, they've got Worthy for another year and he's more mature and they've drafted Jalen Royals and Rashee Rice is healthy and all of these different things, you would think that that might unlock the offense a little bit more than just kind of the dump offs and short intermediate passes. I would pump the brakes on that at least right out of the gate because of the Rice suspension, because of the potential injuries with Worthy and Brown and all of that. So I do think at some point during the season that'll probably happen. That will probably evolve as the season goes on. But I was really hopeful that we would see this new unlocked Chiefs offensive game plan from week one. That may not be a reality.
I was too. And the other problem is who they play. Right. Two of their most difficult games this season will be out of the gates in that stretch. So that's a part of it, too. Like, I don't lose hope if through the first month of the season, the offense is not clicking on all cylinders. And even if they were healthy, the fact that they have to play the Eagles and the Ravens in that mix and maybe even the Chargers in that mix on the road, like, there's a chance it's going to take a second, because after that, Jags, Lions, Raiders, Commanders. Like, then it's all of a sudden defenses that I wouldn't expect to be in the top half this year that they'll face. So yeah, give that a little time. But again, like, that's okay. If you're solid on the line, Isaiah Pacheco's healthy, right? That's why I keep bringing up, like, the opportunity right now for Jalen Royals is tremendous, right? It's a really big opportunity for him, because Worthy's going to be totally different than he was a year ago. He'll be where, you know, you expect at minimum where he was at the end of the year. I don't know. Hollywood Brown's the wild card. What is the expectation for Hollywood Brown?
To play? To be on the field?
Let's assume he plays. And I mean, like, if he plays, what sort of production do we even expect for him? I feel like it's all over the map. It could be a lot, right? It could be where he's had 1,000-yard seasons in his careers. Or it could be as their third or fourth best wide receiver. Like, his range of outcomes is high. They're all over the place. In a, I wouldn't call it a best case scenario, but in a very logical scenario, if this offense was all healthy at the same time and clicking, he would be the fourth passing option in the offense. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be Kelce and Worthy and Rice, and then him, probably, I guess. Or is it more than that? Is he more than that? Which is also possible based on his career when he's out there healthy.
Well, knowing that this is, again, like, take number two on a prove it deal for Hollywood Brown, in his mind, it's gonna be more than that. At least he needs it to be more than that to be able to continue on his career in a meaningful way, as opposed to going on 1 year deal here, 1 year deal there. You know, not a whole lot of money. If he wants a multi-year contract from another team, that's the whole reason why he came to Kansas City last season, and he wasn't able to perform by and large the majority of the year. He's doing it again this year. Like, the Chiefs were able to bring him back for another year for another prove it deal. If it were up to him, it would need to be a lot bigger production than just being another cog in the machine, right? Like, just being another guy, a role player offensively. It's a prove it deal. And if he can do that and perform and be healthy, that's the biggest caveat. Can he be healthy? Then he's going to be able to cash in potentially somewhere else on a multi-year contract. But that the big question mark is going to be, will he be healthy enough to be able to do that?
Or does he end up like Juju Smith-Schuster and just re-sign with the Chiefs every season?
He could.
You know, which was Juju's also, boy, aren't you glad Juju's there? It's kind of like last year. Aren't you just glad Juju's there?
He's like, he's a safety now. He's not going to do anything major for you. You know, that part of his career is done. But he can be reliable. And that's really important. As we always say,
what is right now,
we always say the best ability is availability. And Juju has been available. And that's been important.
The Royals fall last night 6-2. Garrett Crochet doing Garrett Crochet things. He is your winning pitcher. The good news for the Royals is Ryan Berger looked pretty good, right? Two earned, given up over 5 2/3. I thought he was pretty solid. The bullpen really let the Royals down last night. Both Zerpa and Schreiber, both of whom have been pretty good lately, were not good last night. Collectively gave up 6 hits and 4 runs in an inning pitched and 2 walks. Just pretty dreadful, honestly. Then Lynch came in and actually looked pretty good. Schreiber's been a very good story this year. Zerpa has certainly been better. And this was not a game where the Royals had a lead. This was the right time to use them and everything else. But I think, Tommy, we're seeing a bullpen that's rounding up to Lynch, Harvey, Ursig, and Estevez as your guys with the lead, I think. It's too bad, but you know, look, Garrett Crochet's a stud. It was going to be another, they were almost like 2-1 underdogs to win that game yesterday. They were severely underdogs against that kind of starting pitching.
Well, they were able to get a couple of runs against Crochet. It just wasn't, it wasn't enough. And you know, Berger turned the ball over to Zerpa and Schreiber, and those two guys struggled last night. And look, I think that while it's disappointing, I think we all knew that it was going to be an incredible challenge to try to beat the Red Sox, who are one of baseball's hottest teams, by the way. with Garrett Crochet on the mound, who has been lights out this season. That's why Monday night's game was so important for them to get the win, and why it was so disappointing that Bailey Falter had a bad debut for the Royals on Monday night. That's why I think the pressure was on the Royals' shoulders on Monday night to try to at least start off the series with a win, because now we look ahead to tonight's game and their backs are up against a wall and they're trying to avoid a sweep. And that would be the biggest bucket of cold water to throw on the fire that the Royals have had in the month of July and then early in August if they get swept by the Red Sox in Boston. They've got to avoid that at all costs. You do have a good opportunity tonight, but it's disappointing that we're now staring a potential sweep in the face after what we've seen recently from this team.
If the Royals were to lose to Boston today, they would be further behind Boston in the wild card than they would be Detroit in the division. So that's a part to pay attention to, right? If they lose to Boston today, it may very well take one of the wild card spots out. Boston's won 7 straight. Kansas City hasn't lost any ground on the Yankees because the Yankees are on a 5-game losing streak. But you've lost games to Texas, who is, you know, the most recent reason the Yankees are out to 5 games. So you've lost games there. Seattle's going to be tough to catch. I think it gets pretty critical. And really, honestly, with 6 to go against Detroit, maybe where we need to be looking is Detroit as much as anything else. And it's going to be an outside. We've known this. It's going to be an outside chance. One of the reasons we really liked what the Royals did at the trade deadline is because they were aggressive with moves that don't just help them this year, because their chances to reach the postseason this year are low. They're not very high. But they made moves that potentially help them next year. Burgert's going to be one of those, and he looked good yesterday. But we knew going into this Red Sox series that they were at severe pitching disadvantages in the first 2 games. Severe. We knew going into this 6-game portion of the 9-game road trip that they probably just needed to get a split in the first 6. So a win today gives them 4 out of 6, which I think... honestly, I would feel pretty good about it, to just in fairness to reality, right? But you got to get that win today. Otherwise, it'll be a slip. They can still overcome a split. They can still overcome that. But it's a big pressure spot, and it's Michael Wacha on the mound to try to get it done. This will be the worst starting pitcher of the 3 that they faced. And here we go, a big opportunity. I don't know, Tommy. They only scored 2 runs yesterday. I feel good about the offense. I like their chances today. Let me look and see what our odds are today. I'm just curious because they were dogs in both of the first 2 games of this series. Today, they're dogs again against Dustin May.
I mean, I like that on the money line, to be honest with you. And primarily because of Michael Wacha, his last time out, that opening game of the road trip in Toronto against the Blue Jays, he went 8 innings and gave up 1 run in that game. And so I like their chances if Wacha can continue that. That was the deepest start of the year for Michael Wacha. And in a situation, if you go back to almost a week ago when he threw 8 innings and got the win in that opening game in Toronto, the Royals were coming off of a homestand against the Braves at home when the finale they had to throw a bullpen game. They had just acquired those guys at the deadline, Falter and Burgert and Kolek. They didn't have the arms in the rotation, and that was a breath of fresh air to have a starting pitcher in Michael Wacha that was able to go deep into a ball game and give the Royals bullpen a breather. They desperately needed that in that game. I'm optimistic that Wacha can follow that up. I don't think that he necessarily needs to go eight innings again tonight, but if he can at least go deep into the game and you know, hold the Red Sox down, then I do like that. And we know that Kansas City, their backs are up against the wall to avoid the sweep. Knowing that they're underdogs again tonight, I kind of like Kansas City on the money line.
Day off tomorrow, you got to kind of look between the lines. Is another reason to like them is even if Wacha doesn't go deep, a short hook allows them to go Harvey, Ursig, Estevez. So you need him to go 6. I don't know if they'd go Lynch back-to-back nights at the moment because he did pitch extended time last night. So you need Walker to get you through six. You need to have a chance. And likely, if it's close, they're going to throw those three guys because they have a day off tomorrow. I'm with you. I like the Royals today. I think it's a nice setup for them. And again, if you can go into that day off and go into a twin series, you can get that win today knowing you just didn't go up against these kinds of pitchers. I think you feel good about that. Garrett Crochet pitched last night. I think this Tarek Skubal runaway conversation has gotten a little out of hand. If there were two guys that pitched yesterday that I believe should be in the conversation, and one of them was Garrett Crochet. He has been outstanding. He's got a 13-4 record. His ERA is 0.06 higher than Skubal. Skubal's 11-3. Garrett Crochet's thrown more innings, Tommy. He has more strikeouts. His whip is not quite as good. I would still say Skubal is the leader there. But then you got to go down and you got to look at Nate Eovaldi. I don't know how much you've been noticing what Nate Eovaldi's doing. Nate Eovaldi missed a few starts. So he's about 30 innings behind those guys. Tommy, he's got a 1.38 ERA right now and is putting things together like we've never seen. He's allowed one run or fewer in 13 of his last 14 starts. He's the only Major League Baseball pitcher other than one guy to do something like that. You know who that other guy is? Bob Gibson.
Okay.
It's the only other guy that's had a stretch like that. It's the fifth best in Major League Baseball history through a pitcher's first 19 starts of a season. Fifth best ever through 19 starts. I think he's making a case. I mean, this has been insane what he's doing. And I don't know if we'd be having a different conversation if he didn't miss. I think it was about three starts with an injury. But I mean, we haven't seen something like this before. Not in 60 years.
Yeah, I don't think that the runaway conversation with Tarek Skubal is fair to those other guys. I think Skubal's in the mix for sure.
I think Skubal's the leader.
Yeah, he's probably the leader in the clubhouse. But what Eovaldi is doing right now is pretty special. So that's of course on the table. And then Garrett Crochet, what's wild to me about Crochet is that it wasn't that long ago that the White Sox didn't want him to start games. Like, they just wanted to use him out of the bullpen. And, you know, they did finally acquiesce and put him in the rotation a season ago. But that was the best thing for him ever to get out of Chicago and go to Boston. And they
remember he wanted a contract. They didn't want to give him one. And, you know,
he's filthy. Like, watching that, it's not like I watch a lot of Garrett Crochet, and watching him last night,
we got no chance.
He's phenomenal. And I think with Tarek Skubal, I pay closer attention to him because he's in the Royals division, obviously. But man, like, watching Crochet, I always knew he was special, and you always knew that he could heat it up and could throw the cover off the baseball. But man, his placement, his arm angle, like all these different things, he's a special pitcher. So I don't think that it's a runaway with Tarek Skubal at all. I think you've got a couple of guys in that mix, in that conversation for the Cy Young. And it's going to be, I think, a really competitive battle down the stretch.
I do too. Before the game, Eovaldi was at 60-1 to win the Cy Young. He's at about 30-1 now. I still like that. I do think it is time to start paying attention to what he's doing. He is putting together one of the best seasons we've ever seen from a starting pitcher. And he missed a small amount of time. It was three or four starts. His will be interesting. If he keeps that up, no matter what Crochet and Nevada, if he keeps his ERA under 1.5, the only other guy, Tommy, to do that, and I'd be curious to know if you know who this one is. The only other guy through the first 19 starts of a season to keep it basically that low, 1.38 or lower, and there's only one that's done it in modern time. Who do you think it is? It's a familiar name. I'll give you a hint.
Greg Maddux.
Zach Greinke.
Okay.
Only other guy. And guess what? He did not win the Cy Young that year. Now, that was through his first 19 starts. He ended up, Greinke, I just had it pulled up. I took it off. Like he was second in Cy Young that year. I don't know if Evaldi's going to get it done. A lot, we know this with awards. Sometimes guys are crowned early and it just, there's no overcoming it. But if he keeps it going through the end of this season, he will have a case. He's going to have a case because we just haven't seen this kind of numbers in forever. And I'm not saying I think he's better than Scooble or better than Crochet. He's just not giving up any runs. It's wild. It'll be a fun thing to watch. All right, we'll come back. We got another hour of Sports Daily coming for you. Don't go away. It's all Brock and Caster on a Wednesday.